This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Hello, and thanks for joining me. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and today's topic is actually a suggestion from a listener, Judy, who has been suffering from Meniere's disease for the last couple of years. She sent me an email, and she said that she shared with me how she's lost the hearing in her right ear and how she's suffering from this crippling vertigo and this pulsating tinnitus, or tinnitus, as some people call it, and how it results in a suddenly experiencing vertigo to the point where she loses her balance. And, you know, when these things happen, what occurs is our world becomes smaller and smaller because we get into that stress and the distress and even the depression that goes along with it, which she also shared very openly that her world is shrinking and that she just wants to know what can she do. She's talked to an ear, nose, and throat doctor. She's talked to neurologists. She's done a lot of stuff. She even flew to Germany to have a treatment done that worked very well with Dana White and working with Meniere's disease, and here she is still with it. So she emailed me and said, Carol, could you please do a show on it and share what you know as a medical intuitive and then also some of the hidden meanings that I've found that is behind Meniere's disease. And then what I'm going to be doing in the last segment is I'm going to be sharing some of the things that can be done to treat it, and then ultimately the goal is to be able to eliminate it. So Judy, I hope you enjoy the show. You know, you might be my caller number one, my love, so hang on, because I actually went in and connected with you. Thank you for letting me do that, and I think we can connect some dots for you. In addition to talking about Meniere's disease, I'm also going to be taking your calls, so if you have a question for me about your health or something else that's happening with all this energy that's going on, talk about contrast, 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 closure, closure, closure. You want to know about your health, about relationships, about career decisions that you might be facing, then you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in U.S. and Canadian callers. You can use that. Also, international callers, the same number, 877-230-3062. You just need to dial your international calling code before the number. I just posted on my website my November Enter to Win promotion that I have going on. This month, I'm going to be giving away a chance to win a one-hour free reading with me. So if you would like to get in the list and get on the database to win this promotion, then I just encourage you to go to my website, www.Reitberger, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R.com. And a pop-up's going to appear on my homepage. When it pops up, just enter your email address. And then once you do that, you're entered. And the name of the winner will actually be drawn December 1st and will be notified by email. I did a free evening of reading. I mean, I did a free reading promotion in October or September, and it really went very, very well. And what I decided to do is I went ahead and gave away three readings instead of one. So, you know, we'll just kind of see what the schedule is, but go to my website, www.Reitberger, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R.com. Enter the entry to win, and then I'll be doing the drawing on December 1st, and I'll notify the winner or winners by email. So I hope you'll take the time to do that. Then when you're on my website, if you want to submit a suggestion for a radio show just like Judy did, then go to my, again, homepage, click on the radio tab, and then click on show schedule, and you'll see a little image up in the right-hand corner that says submit a show suggestion. Just fill it out, send it to me, as Judy did, and then what I'll do is I will do some research on it, and I'll feature it on my show. I love to hear where your interests are, where your focus is, And I love to do the research to be able to present the information. So again, www.ritberger.com. Meniere's is really a very rare disease that affects the membranous labyrinth of the inner ear, causing a progressive deafness. And that doesn't happen necessarily overnight, but over a period of time. And it creates spontaneous attacks of tinnitus and vertigo. And sometimes it can even give a feeling of fullness or pressure in the ear. In many cases, Meniere's disease only affects one ear. Interestingly enough, it affects women more than men. That's the latest research. We used to think that it was men more than women, and it affects women between the age of 40 and 50 years old. We're really not sure what causes Meniere, but one of the things that I found in working with people who suffer from it, there are some causes that I'm going to be sharing as well. So here's how the process works. And a lot of people will say to me, well, Carol, I have the ringing in the ears, and every so often I get dizzy. Well, there's a difference between the dizziness of Meniere's disease and what I call what is called benign positional vertigo, where we actually hold our head wrong or we sleep wrong, so we get those dizzy spells. With Meniere's disease, the vertigo actually can last anywhere from 20 minutes to 4 hours. And they're completely debilitating to the point where they not only cause that spinning motion that can cause you to lose your balance, hopefully not fall, but also can go in and can cause you to become nauseated and experience vomiting that's associated with it. So the way that it usually starts out is a person will feel a fullness or a pressure in the ear or even a pressure in the head. And all of a sudden they'll start to notice there's some sensory perception problems, such as maybe not being able to focus as clearly as they could a moment ago. And then what they'll start to do is they will start to hear this ringing noise, and that will be followed by vertigo. Still, in its severity, it's one thing to remember that this does go away. Now, for Judy, who experiences it literally late afternoon every day, that's going to be a little bit hard. It's like, okay, Carol, come on, now when? But what it does is it's kind of an episode. It's kind of what we call a cluster effect or a syndrome. And what it does is it's like a lot of things build up at one time, as I was just suggesting. And then what it does is in that cluster dynamics of it, it then can even come into a mild headache. And then what it does is then it goes into that debilitating vertigo. That is literally the ultimate way that we can look at and diagnose the difference between Meniere's disease, benign positional vertigo, or tinnitus. So when you experience that, and if it's something new and you're getting these episodes with it, then it would be beneficial for you to go and to set an appointment with your doctor, because a lot of the signs and symptoms of Meniere disease really mimic a lot of other signs of a potential problem. And it's important that you get a diagnosis that's really very accurate as soon as possible. So vertigo is also has an uncommon symptomology associated with stroke, brain tumor. Now, Judy, if you're listening to the show, honey, don't get nervous right now. Multiple sclerosis, MS, and disease of your heart and blood vessels, which is, of course, cardiovascular disease. And one of the things that it can also be triggered by are allergies and the inflammatory response. So it's really important to talk to a doctor to get an accurate diagnosis so you can go in and be sure that we don't have anything going on, or maybe having an autoimmune disorder that is beginning to surface in the form of Meniere's disease. Some of the primary signs and symptoms that accompany specifically Meniere's disease is headaches that are unusual or severe for you, and especially if you're a person who doesn't suffer from severe headaches. We all may get tension headaches, but I'm talking about a debilitating headache that may be a migraine. You may see the auras that's associated with it, and then the nausea, double vision, or an instant loss of vision. That doesn't mean permanent blindness, but all of a sudden your vision just basically goes black. Speech impairments, arm and leg weakness, loss of consciousness, falling and difficulty walking, numbness or tingling, and then, of course, the obvious that can go with the vertigo, along with Meniere's disease is to be very aware of chest pain. As I said, that the real cause of Meniere's isn't well understood, but it really appears with all the different testing and diagnostics that have been associated with it, that it's an abnormal volume or composition of the fluid in the inner ear. The inner ear is a cluster of connected passages and cavities that's called the labyrinth. The outside of the inner ear is made of bone, bony labyrinth. Inside the structure of is the membrane, the membranous labyrinth, that's slightly smaller, similar to a shape version of the bony labyrinth. When this membranous labyrinth becomes filled with too much fluid, then it impacts those hair-like sensors within the eye that respond to the movement of the fluid. So when you get this feeling of fullness, that's where we're starting to get that sense or that pressure in the inner ear that we have too much fluid that is building up in the ear itself. So in order for all of these sensors in the inner ear to function properly, the fluids need to retain a certain volume, pressure, and chemical composition. Factors that alter the inner ear fluid also are known to trigger Meniere's disease. Some of these things are maybe improper fluid drainage because of a blockage or an anatomic abnormality that could be there since birth. Because one of the things when I did the research, while Meniere's disease tends to affect adults 40 to 50 years old, primarily women, we are seeing more cases of Meniere disease in children. And that has to do with the buildup, the ear infections that children have. And a lot of times doctors will put tubes in the ear and that will take care of the problem. Abnormal immune system response. That means that your body is abnormally creating an inflammatory reaction, and the inflammatory reaction immediately comes in and increases the fluids in the body, and it can increase the fluids in the ear. And especially if someone has been prone to sinusitis or has been prone to having cavities or polyps within their nasal passage or have had ear infections previously as a child or maybe as an adult and ear pain, then the immune system is going to immediately go to those areas, assume that we have a problem, and then it's going to change the quantity, the quality, and the chemical makeup of the fluid in the inner ear. Allergies are a big trigger, we're learning as more research is showing, around creating this imbalance in the fluids in the body, which is what we associate with Meniere's disease. Viral infections, the rhinovirus, of course, cold. Some people who have herpes zoster or herpes simplex that gets cold sores with on the mouth, that's a herpes simplex, or has eye shingles or breakouts around the eyes or shingles, also has a higher predisposition to Meniere's disease. Genetic predisposition, there may be a family history of ringing in the ear, the tinnitus, maybe there is a vertigo, maybe there's a misalignment that's occurring in the skeletal system that tends to be maybe scoliosis, that can also trigger it, and then head trauma, migraine headaches. We go in when I'm going to share in the second segment about all of the things that we can do to help treat and ultimately prevent Meniere's disease from occurring. Most of what I'm going to share, and the way medicine looks at it, is we need to go into avoidance to be able to eliminate the things that trigger it, such as alcohol and caffeine. People who have a gluten intolerance or an allergy to gluten, celiac disease, people who have candida that goes systemic and ends up as thrush in the mouth, or even sinusitis has a higher predisposition for having inner ear problems, with Meniere's being one. Barometric pressure changes also can affect that inner ear fluid that can be an integral part of what triggers Meniere's disease. Avoid excessive salt intake. I'm going to talk more about that. A lot of people, when they're in pain, if they suffer from osteoarthritis or rheumatoid arthritis, are on medications or aspirin or antibiotics or quinine medications and use over-the-counter anti-inflammatories. These also can change the chemistry and the dynamics in the body to the point where they can create an inner ear problem. One of the things that I found is a medical intuitive that has to do with Meniere's disease, vertigo, tinnitus has to do with a vitamin B deficiency. And it's not just the B12, it's B1, B3, B6, and B12. So that's a deficiency that I find. I hate to write this down, but I had to. In the aging process, the body acclimates and changes to whatever it's dealing with. And as we age, the body tends to increase its inflammatory reaction to things. And allergies and respiratory issues and asthma are some of the occurrences that happen that we get later in life because of the fact that the immune system just misreads. It's trying to help, but it can misread and it can create this anti-inflammatory stress. That's one of the number one causes from a psychological standpoint, and then emotional distress, and then also people who suffer from depression are higher predisposition to Meniere's. But it really isn't depression that causes the trigger for Meniere's. Usually it's the medication that's being prescribed for depression that can trigger it. So if you do suffer from Meniere's disease and you are on an antidepressant, I always suggest go back and talk to your doctor and be sure that that's not one of the side effects and that we're not chemically changing the body in such a way that it's really creating other problems. So the best person to talk about in that, to talk to in that situation is really your doctor. If they prescribed it, or psychotherapist or a psychiatrist, but that's one of the best ways to do. Probably the most debilitating part of Meniere's disease is the fact that this sudden vertigo hits so quickly, and that what it does is it takes, even if we were feeling in Judy's case when I went in, touched her energy, she has a little bit of dizziness when she gets up in the morning, meaning that she's aware that something's going on. She's not really sure where it's going to go, but she's aware of it. And then by afternoon, then what's going to happen is that all of the perfect alignment of all of the things are going to go into play, and then what's going to happen is by afternoon she's going to find herself having to lie down for several hours. And what this means is world shrinks, we lose time from our work, we're not able to do what we really like to do. And then in Judy's case, she was so open and shared with me that she's really wondering how this is impacting her teenage son from the standpoint that he sees mom laying there trying to figure out how to deal with this vertigo, the spinning that's going on, and isn't able to function, and how she stretched out on the couch in the late afternoons. As a medical intuitive working with Meniere's disease, I have found that there are two primary psychological contributors. One is a stress. Now, it could be stress that triggers the changes in the body, and then that can trigger Meniere's to come into play. But the interesting part is that once someone has Meniere's, then that creates a stress of its own. So it's kind of like being a dog chasing the tail. You're just kind of in a loop. You're not sure, is it the stress? Or is it the stress that triggered it, meaning maybe you have too much on your plate that day, maybe you have a lot of emotional things, because emotional distress is the second thing that I find is very connected to Meniere's disease, that you're emotionally distressed over something's happening, you have too much on your to-do list. Well, that stress creates this inflammatory reaction, puts this body in fight, flight, freeze, changes the chemical composition, and now we're just kind of a snowball rolling downhill waiting to see what happens. And then when we get that sudden onset of vertigo, that spinning, or that feeling of pressure, and anybody who has Meniere's disease will understand these little signs that they feel, that's like, oh my gosh, it's coming on. So now they're in a loop, because now they're emotionally distressed that it's coming on. It's creating stress because they can't do what they want to do, and it just forms a loop. And that's one of the things that I really have found, that people who tend to suffer from Meniere's finds themselves getting in this loop about being stressed, emotionally distressed and stressed, not really even sure why they're stressing. Now they're worrying. And one of the things that's a natural thing that I connect with Meniere's disease is worry. So we have stress, anxiety, fear, worry. And then what I have also found is that, you know, some of the metaphors that I found as a medical intuitive associated with Meniere's disease is that the person is just almost like screaming in the night, is anybody listening to me? And other people, it's like, don't tell me what to do. And then also people will reach a place where they just get tired of the same old yada, 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 and they get tired of the same old, you know, rhetoric from people. And it's like, I don't want to listen to anyone. I don't want to listen to their rhetoric. I don't want to listen to their opinions. Now, these hidden meanings, these psychological metaphors that I pick up, doesn't necessarily mean that the minute you find yourself saying that, that you're going to experience either tinnitus or vertigo or Meniere's disease or any inner ear disorder that's going to pop up. It's the pattern. And we have to be very mindful on how the body shows in the health or lack of it, how we are caught in patterns of emotional responses, patterns of thinking, patterns of emotional distressors that we're experiencing. And when we start to recognize the patterns and we recognize the chronicness of the patterns, then we can go in and we can look at things like Meniere's disease, which while it may suddenly appear and take a long time to go away, and in some people's cases, it may be that they'll have to do medication for nausea. Other people may end up actually having to do surgery. But what it's saying to you is there is a chronic pattern psychologically that you find yourself keeping caught up, you're caught up in on a regular basis, and our inner dialogue can turn very sour, can turn very bitter. That brings in the digestive aspect of it. It can also cause us to feel like we're turning ourselves inside out. I always associate that with nausea. We're really irritated with ourselves because we can't seem to heal what's going on or get off the treadmill of life, whatever we may be saying. And now what we find is we've got a chronic inflammation problem in the body. So Meniere's disease, from my standpoint, is the result of chronic patterns of thinking, emotional reactions, frustration, anxiety, worry, that build these patterns within us, and then suddenly it's as if the soul, mind, body gets together and the soul says, you know what, we just need to disconnect. We need to stop listening to what's going on, and we need to listen to our inner self. And in doing so, then we can find our answers and we can start to know thyself, that old metaphor that we've heard, that, you know, sometimes overused cliche, everything comes back to know thyself. And we can look inwardly to find those parts of ourselves that keep us on that hamster wheel or keep us in the loop. And we can do a lot of psychological release work to be able to come in and really let things go that are triggering those chronic stressors, those core themes, those attitudes. So those are some of the things that I have found. When I find that there's Meniere's disease in the right ear, it reflects a person's refusal to listen to the external information and the desire to drown out the messages that are preventing them from being heard. There's a disengagement taking place and an avoidance pattern arising from not wanting to be vulnerable to other people's criticism and opinion. There's a fear that the person's going to be blamed for other people's mistakes, so there's a desire to withdraw and be seen as kind of the odd one out. The left ear, when Meniere's surfaces there, it reflects a person's desire to not listen to their inner voice. I know that may sound harsh. It isn't intended that way. None of this is to blame a person. It's just to bring awareness of patterns and to listen to the messages of the higher self. And that goes, all of us may do it, is that, you know, it's kind of like our angels may call or the celestial helpers and the guides may come in and say, listen, I want to talk to you about coming in and, you know, let's just kind of listen to things differently. I want you to listen. I want you to spend time in your intuition. And if you're like me, it's like I start negotiating. It's like, okay, well, that sounds really good, but could you come back in about 15 minutes and then I will be ready to listen. And that 15 minutes turns into 1 day, 2 day, 3 days. And so there's definitely a pattern that I've had to become very aware of because I actually have tinnitus in the left ear. And I mean, I'm an intuitive and they're like screaming at me and it's like, hello, I can hear you, but I can't really hear you. And so what I've had to do is change my patterns. And when I hear this buzzing or ringing, instead of it being, oh my gosh, here it is again, I have to go, hello, are you calling me? What can I do? How do I need to listen? Where do I need to get in the space? And I actually go into a series of questions that opens me up to listening to the messages they have to share. It's a process. Healing Meniere's is a process. We would like any time we're not feeling good, and especially with those sudden onset of vertigo, we want Meniere's to immediately go away. So those are some of the things that I have found with Meniere's disease. I took a lot of time to really cover and set the stage of Meniere's disease so you could see it from a variety of perspectives, when to know when to move forward, or do we just kind of take that wait and see. But I do have a lot of callers, so please, all of my callers, stay on the line. I will be right back. I do want to take a commercial break, and then in the next segment, I'm going to talk about what we can do to heal Meniere's and then also take your calls. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green? Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
Well, welcome back. If you're just joining me, the topic of today's show is Meniere's disease, and it's a suggestion from a listener. I think she's on the line. I'm going to take her call in just a moment, who has been suffering from it for a couple of years. And what I want to do in this segment, as if you're just joining me, the first segment is just chock full of information about Meniere's disease, so you could really get a well-rounded perspective of what it is and start to look at differentiating it from benign positional vertigo, or maybe vertigo that's associated with migraines, and to really, you know, not become fearful, but to really have the information to be able to decide, should I move forward and should I really look at this beyond just, you know, something that's happening momentarily. And I am, one of the things that I do as a medical intuitive is I believe that the best way to heal is in the preventative part. The best way for prevention is to have a lot of information. So if you're just joining me, you will want to go back to the archives on www.reitberger, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R.com. You want to go back to those archives, and then this show will actually be posted in a couple of days, and then you can go back and listen to that first segment. And then if you were in the first segment, you can go back and listen to that segment again and maybe want to share it with someone. So what I want to do is I am going to share some suggestions that we can do to treat Meniere's disease. And I want to start with the treatment part of it, because one of the key elements of Meniere's disease is we've got to minimize the impact it has so the body can do what it naturally does, and that's heal itself. So I'm going to share some suggestions beyond taking medication, which, as I mentioned in the first segment, is something that's done especially for the nausea and the vomiting, for the vertigo, and then also there's surgery. And those are the two different primary ways that allopathic medicine goes. However, they're looking a lot at what can be done from the standpoint. Sorry, I had to remove my cough drop. what can be done to be able to look at diet. So I'm going to share some of those things too. But I want to jump right in. Hi, Judy. Hi, honey. Are you the one?
Oh, hello, Carol. A heartfelt thank you for this most in-depth summary of Meniere's. You brought up the point even of Meniere's sufferers having the visual migraines with the halo or the arc, and that's something that I actually had prior to, you know, coming down with the stuffiness in the ear and all the other Meniere symptoms, that most people would never even bring that up. So the amount of research you did for today's show, I just want to say a heartfelt thanks.
Oh, thank you, honey. Well, you know, when you gave me the suggestion, the secondhand part of it is you gave me permission to go into your field.
Yes.
And I did. And in fact, I was going to end the show by sharing what I'm now going to share with you about what's going on. So because I know that you've seen ear, nose, throat doctors, neurologists, you went to Germany and none of the things really did anything. So by having permission to go into your body, may I share it with you?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. So the migraines themselves that you had were also part of a structural issue. So what you're really dealing with, sweetie, is you're dealing with a spine structural issue. When I went in, I can find your atlas. C1 vertebrae, right at the base of the brainstem, gets out of alignment.
Oh, my goodness. And this was something. This was my next course of thought.
Yes.
I can't believe this. Oh, please go on.
Yes. So what it's doing is that it's causing the muscles in your neck to become tight.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons that you're getting the vertigo in the late afternoon is that it, and I do believe it's tied to Meniere's to some extent, but I believe that you're getting benign positional vertigo as well from the standpoint that your neck gets out of alignment. This C1 vertebrae gets out of alignment. Your muscles in your neck get tight. I can go in and I can find every vertebrae in your body muscularly being locked down. It's like your bottom wants to go one direction and your head wants to go the other direction.
Well,
and
I constantly have a swaying motion in,
yes,
in my sensory, in my head. I forever feel like I'm swaying.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like your vertebrae and your muscles are doing what they're designed. They're trying to straighten you up.
Okay.
But in their course of trying to straighten you up, this C1 vertebrae gets turned a little bit more. It's, and so when I went in and I touched you, and this is afternoon. I did find some of this in the morning when I was saying in the show that I could feel you feeling things like, oh my gosh, is this going to be one of these days or not? But
always
one of the things,
how I feel, yeah.
Yeah. But what I find is that by midday, your head is actually, because of the tight muscles, being pushed forward. It's like your whole head, your whole vertebrae in the cervical part in your neck is being pushed forward. It's misaligning the jaw, so the jaw is putting pressure on two specific cranial nerves. And what it's doing at the same time, while the muscles are pushing your head forward, while your little backside is coming outward, so you've got one going forward, you've got the backside going out to the backside more, what it's causing is your head to protrude forward and your chin to drop slightly, not pronounced, but slight enough that it's putting the pressure on cranial nerve number 8.
Okay.
This is the auditory nerve that's associated with hearing and balance. And that's part of the tightness in the jaw. It's not TMJ. It's just a muscle thing from the way that's
happening. I do get tightness in the jaw.
Yes.
I cannot believe how right on you are.
You are just good, honey.
Oh, God.
You know, I just knocked and you opened up and it's like, whoa. So, and then the other thing that it's doing is it's putting pressure on the number 10 cranial nerve, the vagus nerve, that's associated with the nausea. swallowing, the gag reflex, and then also speech. So if you go in and you can Google and look at cranial nerves and see where those nerves are positioned, you are going to see that those two specific cranial nerves are associated with being number 10 is just above the ear to the back in that little indentation, two on each side. That has to do with jaw muscle tightness and protrusion on that C1 atlas. And then you can go in and you can look at the cranial nerve number 8, and that is the nerve that is right at the top of the brain stem that is impacting the impulses from your brain cerebellum move to where it's not getting clear through that C1 atlas, and then the rest of your body the rest of the day is trying to figure out what to do with itself.
And this has also caused me to lose the hearing in my right ear?
It has.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
It has. Now, the hearing in your right ear, we can say, is associated with Meniere's disease.
Yes.
However, I believe that one of the things that I shared was allergies. And I'm going to have to give it to you because I was unclear. I can find some sensitivities that you have.
And I also have an autoimmune condition, too.
You do.
I have ulcerative colitis, which I have kept controlled for 30 years.
Yes. But when you become too acidic in your pH,
okay,
it triggers the symptomology of that, that some of the nausea could be associated with that. Plus,
most
you're acidic.
Most of my nausea is from the sensation of my vertigo. Almost, it varies from feeling like I'm seasick, that's on the light side, to the full rotational where I'm throwing up, like, terribly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that if you get too acidic in your pH, and that's why I couldn't really come in, sweetie, and say to you, honestly, I tried many different directions. Oh, you're allergic to this or this or this. But I did pick up that your body has this autoimmune response to what's going on, which thank you for validating that.
Right.
And that what we have is we have a combination of different things happening that my sense is that it could possibly be candida systemic sinusitis, which is the sinus part, the pressure that has caused some of that. Well, has caused the loss of hearing. So it may, I believe it's Meniere's, but I believe that there's other things to it. When I went in, sweetie, I could go in and I could find an old neck injury that you had, cervical vertebrae 3 and 4, and that's actually the root of the problem. I don't know. It feels to me like you either got a whiplash, that you fell and hit the back of your head. When you hit the back of your head, then it rotated to the right. I could feel some injury in the right side of the
Carol,
head.
Carol, could you repeat that? That's 3 and 4.
Yes. Cervical vertebrae. There's an old neck injury.
Okay. But cervical vertebrae.
3 and 4.
Okay.
Those are the vertebrae that are in the main part of the neck.
Right.
And that I believe that it is that is causing this C1, the atlas, to come out of alignment.
Uh-huh.
And when it comes out of alignment, then I get all this muscle dynamics, the skeletal dynamics, that causes the body, the structural part, to change, putting pressure on these cranial nerves, changing the structure itself, and putting the pressure on the spine and the nerves associated with it, that's causing what feels to me more like benign positional vertigo versus being always Meniere's disease.
Now, Carol, if I went to a chiropractor, could they correct this?
They could, and I'm not anti-chiropractor, so all my chiropractors that are listening, I love all of you.
Right.
But in this particular case, honey, when I ask your body, and I don't know what it is with chiropractors, I get some anxiety, very honestly, about it.
Okay.
I don't know where it surfaces or length of time or when it happened, but one of the things I ask your body, so what are some of the things that I could offer to you? Your body said to me, I should offer to you to see an osteopath.
Okay.
And an osteopath because they have MD background, and again, I love all my chiropractors, but because they have the MD background and they combined it with osteopathic medicine, they have a real understanding of the subtleties and the finiteness that happens when nerves get altered due to musculoskeletal issues.
Okay.
So they can take the symptoms, they can take everything from that doctor perspective, and then they can use their training to look at it very differently. One of the things also is I wanted to suggest that you see a craniosacral practitioner. And Dr. John Upledger, U-P-L-E-D-G-E-R, has trained many, many wonderful craniosacral practitioners. There are other great practitioners out there. I just thought if I sent you to John's site, with John being an osteopathic doctor, that it could give you a broader perspective of what craniosacral can do. You can also put in your zip code, and it will give you practitioners in the area, in your area. And then you can also talk to people. So it's not just Upledger's practitioners that are skilled at it. I just wanted you to go to John's site to see who this man is, see what he's learned about the cranial nerves and how he uses the adjustments to be able to restore balance, homeostasis, and balance and well-being back in the body. So that's where I went with it.
Now, Carol, do you feel that I can, like, get my health back?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
I mean, you feel that. Okay.
I do. I also, very honestly, I do feel that, but very honestly, I'm going to put a but in there. I don't very often, but I'm going to put a but in there is that I think we need to broaden the perspective we have of what's going on. I think we need to really look at this autoimmune situation. I think we need to look at the diet and look at the things that could be triggering an allergic response or increasing the inflammatory response due to the autoimmune. I think we need to look at structurally to be able to see that we've got some dynamics going on. And while my Meniere's feels accurate, it feels like healing it is going to take more than just dealing
looking
with
the ears.
Exactly.
I totally agree. I had sensed, you know, the tension you're talking about. Even sometimes when I eat, I don't feel like my jaws meet up properly, you know.
Correct.
And I didn't know if that's from the Meniere's because they say it's like your gyroscope is broken, you know. Your whole
Correct.
Sense of movement is sort of off. But I have sensed this other skeletal type of situation. And when you started to speak about this, it almost reconfirmed because that was my next step here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I felt should be my next step.
I agree. And see, one of the things as a medical intuitive, my job when I connect with someone's energy, your soul, mind, body knows what it needs to restore health. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I get to work through the layers just like you get to work through the layers. But the beauty of the energy field is it pinpoints specifically, accurately, instantaneously what you already know and what's going on. It really makes my job very easy.
Oh, so Carol, honest, from the heart. You know, because I've had such difficulty because the ENTs, they just look specifically at the ear.
Correct.
And so much of what happens in Meniere's and how it limits you is the interaction between the broken ear and the brain.
Exactly.
And you get all this feeling of being unwell. Like, you know, you can't even go to busy stores anymore because just the activity of people kind of passing you by, you get like a lot of visual.
You do.
Sort of vertigo. You know, it's like initiated by either flashing lights, bright lights, or anything sensory.
Exactly.
And when you talk to an ENT, they'll just tell you, you know, Meniere's is tinnitus, feeling of fullness, and vertigo.
Right.
That's it. All these other symptoms, you know, I don't know about. You know, it's that gray matter in between that everybody with Meniere's is saying, please help me.
Exactly.
Because that's where our worst symptoms are, you know?
Exactly. And, you know, also, honey, your migraines are tied to your autoimmune. So it's like your autoimmune issue you're dealing with changed the dynamics of your gut, and then the headache started. And then the headaches were, they're stomach related, but they're related to that vagus nerve number 10 and that
Carol,
cranial
just
nerve.
To let you know, my mom had the same autoimmune condition,
yeah,
and she died of it 10 years ago. So I've really tried to be, you know, very on top of it. And I have, you know, basically kind of gotten that into remission. It's just that it was a very, very hard time for me for the past,
yeah,
10 years, you know, because of losing her. And then
exactly,
I lost my older brother just maybe a year and a half after that. So, I say to myself, you know, 10 years of, it was extreme stress and grief. I don't know if that,
It puts a lot of wear and, it puts a lot of wear and tear on the body. It
right,
keeps us in that fight, flight, freeze, mm-hmm, even if we're not consciously aware of it. And the body just reaches a place,
I
hate to say it, but it reaches a place. It's like, I don't know what to do, and I'm just going to stop, and let's just stop everything, and let's regroup. And that's kind of what Meniere's disease does from the standpoint of the vertigo.
It
you're stopped.
You. You couldn't put it better. It does. And that's what's so frustrating to me, because I was always sort of an adventurous soul.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even when there was a lot of sadness going on, we have a small family, and my son was young at the time, and I would always try to create normal.
Correct.
You know, divert him from any very, my mom was very sick for a very long time, and it was a very, very hard issue.
Right.
And he was very little. So I would always try to create normal. And that's the most frustrating part of Meniere's. I feel like I am so limited in what I can do to change, you know, like the energy,
yeah,
in my house, you know?
Exactly.
In my
exactly,
family. The energy in,
yeah,
my family.
You know, the metaphor I just got with that, sweetie, is that I got, you know, you've carried the burden of responsibility on your shoulders for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a wonderful gift of who you are to everyone that you carry the burdens of responsibility around. But this is that emotional distress. It's just a whole combination of things that just, if we can just look at it, it's just a whole bunch of things that built up that caused this pressure to be able to bring you to the awareness that some things just need to change. And that's the gift. I know it sounds strange, but that's the gift. So thank you so much, my love, for the suggestion. I hate to move on. I do.
And Carol,
but I do want to, you are
I
most
just
welcome.
To say, bless you. That's
you
how
are
I just
welcome.
Want to leave this. Bless you, Carol.
Thank you. It just kind of gives me those goosebumps all over. It's like, okay, Carol Reitberger, you just keep on keeping on. So what I want to do is I am going to share a couple of key things, but I want to go ahead and I want to take Rose from California. Hi, sweetheart.
Oh, hi, Carol. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You are welcome. It's just, I could feel you. It's like you're reaching out. It's like poke, 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 poke. So how can I help you, sweetie? I've only got a few minutes, but I want to jump in.
I just wanted to see, my mom just had a surgery, and I just wanted to see if she's going to be okay.
She will. It'll take her a little bit longer to heal, honey. Your mom seems like she's kind of an impatient person. Is that true?
Yes.
You know, so you don't want to say to her, well, you know, mom, you did have surgery, because that won't go over well at all with your mom, because she has, you know, kind of this impatient part. But one of the things that it feels like with your mom is that the surgery has pushed kind of like a reset, a reboot button within her. And it's going to require her body to reset and reboot some of the patterns of that were in the body. So my sense is she'll heal. She just won't heal as quickly as she would like to. So if there's things that you can do, information, distract her, offer her things that she can do so she doesn't ruminate and spin. When she starts feeling good, she doesn't overdo. That's another one of her patterns.
Okay.
Any of those things that you can help her with could be really worthwhile. Your mom has a creative part of her that she's kept on the back burner for a long time. And it's just kind of like it bubbled to the surface. And I hate to say it, but the surgery has stopped her, which is a gift. And so maybe there's some conversation that can go around about, you know, Mom, what would you like to do? What's creative? What do you want to bring? What difference do you want to make to this world? Why don't you ask her, what difference? How do you want to impact the world, Mom? Oh, my gosh. Then her brain will get going in a different direction, and then her body can do what it needs to, because her brain kind of keeps her in a loop, honestly.
Oh, okay. But is she going to be able to, like, walk and... And
she will, but it's gonna require a walker.
Will she ever be able to just walk alone without a walker?
Yes.
Yeah.
But not as quickly as she wants to. So the progression feels like, yay, walker, I'm moving. Yay, cane, I'm moving. And then it'll be a progression to where she will be able to walk without the assistance. I do believe that.
Will she be able to get back to gardening?
Not for a while.
But ever?
I do believe so. Not sure, because we've got some lower back stuff that's going on as well. So, but one of the things you can do, because her soul just said, oh, my God, don't tell me, Carol, I can't garden. So one of the things you can do, honey, is why don't you go online and see if you can find any window gardens for her, so she can do some gardening indoors in the window and watch things grow. That's what she loves to do the most.
But I know you said there's lower back stuff going on. I mean, the doctor didn't diagnose her with anything, but as a result of the accident, did she get something?
Yeah, the thing is that she, there was some injury to the lower back. I'll be specific now that you brought it up. There's some injury to the lower back. And as a result, she doesn't have that flexibility forward and backward. Her muscles will have to get strong to the point where she can actually lift herself. So that's why I'm picking up. I'm not sure about the gardening, especially right now, because I think with the surgery, it's going to help her. But we still have some things going on in the lower spine. So if we can keep her hopeful and engaged, then we can allow the body to do what it can do. And her gardening may mean that she'll have to garden at using a garden box that's 3 feet or 4 feet off the ground and not bend over as much. You'll be very creative in how to help her, honey.
Oh, okay.
But you might, for Christmas, you might just get her some window gardens, because, golly, she loves that kind of stuff. And she loves crystals. Oh, my gosh, she loves crystals. So you might want to do some, you know, crystal work with her, and maybe gardening with crystals. Who knows where this is going to go? But, yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, anyway, well, thank you, sweet. Sorry to cut you off. I've got to do a quick wrap. One of the things I want to do to tie up with Meniere's disease is I want to really encourage people to look at it as an inflammatory issue and look at what you can do to be able to decrease the inflammation in the body. That means eliminating allergy-based foods. Avoid artificial sweeteners. You'll want to really look at the diet and eat foods that are really rich in the flavonoids, apples, apricots, blueberries, pears, raspberries, strawberries, black beans, cabbage, and goes on and on and on. Look at acupressure and acupuncture, and then just go in and make sure that we don't have a dynamics of a lot of things going on. So it'll take a little bit of going within, look at your life, look at eliminating stress. And if you're under emotional distress, then you might want to lighten up. I know that's easy to say, but that goes a long way in letting your field and your body and your mind do what it needs to do. I want to thank you all for joining me. I always love sharing this information. Remember, if you got to have a suggestion for me, just go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and then also go in and check out the website, see what I have going on, check out the archives, and I wish you well. Have a wonderful week. Light and love. I'm going to see you next week on the radio.
You've been listening to The Carol Rideberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.rideberger.com. That's www.ritberger.com. See you soon.